Most of us are either in front of a computer or on a tablet or a smartphone for huge parts of our waking hours. As adults, we're able to set boundaries for ourselves, sometimes at least, for how much of the technology we need or how much we can handle. But what about our children, especially the youngest ones? How many hours is okay when it comes to screen time? Ed Finn of ASU Center for Science and the Imagination wrote about that in Slate recently, and our co-host Steve Goldstein talked with him more about it. They started the conversation with Finn's perspective on whether parents are the problem.
Even if your kids have no technology and you have a zero screen time rule and you don't do anything, you're probably still using technology. It's inescapable. Mm-hmm. And whatever your personal or family philosophy might be, they're going to encounter other kids, other families who do things very differently. So yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I have realized that it does connect to other things that I care about, which is just sort of this larger shift in how we culturally as a society deal with technology. And, you know, it's not that the interesting stuff is not when you're using the technology for the first thing that it was designed for. It's when the 23rd thing that it, you know, might be able to do is what you're trying to solve some problem and your toddler is crying. And that, you know, that's when it starts to get really interesting.
Is there a balancing act for you or for your wife? Are you two really conscious of how much screen time there is? Everyone has been at the restaurant, and you see the family where all four people at the table are on their smartphones.
I've seen that, and I don't think we've ever been that family, not all of us at the same time, but I could be wrong. You know, you see this all the time, and you have to come up with a balance. With all of these technologies, there's no unringing the bell. You know, we're not going to all put our smartphones away. We're not going to go back to some sort of beautiful, you know, 1970s world, which, by the way, probably wasn't beautiful anyway. People were terrified of what television was doing to their kids. So you have to come to a balance, and you have to have a philosophy, because your kids are going to ask you why they can't use the thing that they want to use, right? Yeah. So you have to have an answer. And I think it's good for all of us to reflect on that. So, you know, some of the things we try to do, I've done a lot of reading from other people who have written, talked about this and thought about this, is to have times when we're just being a family and putting our devices away. Our kids are young, and so they do technically have their own tablets, but we don't let them use them very often, except when we travel. We save them. It becomes an exceptional circumstances kind of thing, and then all bets are off. We'll let them use the iPad for 5 hours straight if we're going on a long plane ride, because you don't want to be stuck entertaining your kids for 5 hours on a long plane ride. That can be really hard. But finding that balance is really important. We all need to be practicing and modeling how to be good humans, you know, and work well with one another. Technology can help with that. I think that watching a movie together as a family and talking about it can be a wonderful thing to do. But as soon as you start using technology as the way to avoid parenting, you have to ask yourself, is this trade-off worth it?
When you mentioned the 70s and television, and I know it applies in different ways now, but what about that, letting the TV or letting technology babysit your kids in a sense?
We've all done it, first of all. You know, anyone who's a parent, there's a time when you just need 5 minutes or 20 minutes to take a shower, or there's some urgent thing happening. Sometimes it can be almost a safety issue, you know, because you need your kid to be safe and doing something safe while you're chopping vegetables with a big knife. You know, there are lots of reasons why you may need to rely on some tool. The challenge we have now is that we don't always understand what the tools are and how they work. And one interesting thing that I've learned is that most of the technologies we have were not really designed with children in mind. Mm-hmm. You know, the children are, even if they're some of the primary users of things like tablets, and I'm sure everybody has seen a toddler immediately pick up how to use an iPad. You know, these things are very intuitive, and they clearly latch into, you know, kids' minds really easily and really powerfully. Think of something like YouTube. You know, you can set your kid up watching YouTube videos, but there are a lot of YouTube videos out there, and it's not always clear who made them. There are a lot of things that look like they're designed for kids, but sometimes they're designed by algorithms, so there isn't even really a human at the wheel, and so they can have a lot of weird messages, sometimes really disturbing messages. There are people who are actually making things for kids that are, you know, really not for kids, and they have these little sort of secret unpleasant things buried in them. So there's a lot of stuff out there that you don't realize you're signing up for when you put your kid in front of this machine. And it can be very difficult to know. So unless you're using these technologies yourself or you're participating in the activity in some way, it can be really difficult to know what's happening. And of course, this only gets more complicated as your kids get older and they have more autonomy. They're playing games online. They're interacting with people. We really value boredom in our family. One thing we realized, we took a big trip over the summer, is that technology kills boredom, right? You now, if you're at a doctor's office, you're waiting in line, everybody's on their phone because you never have to be bored again. That's the promise of the internet. But boredom is really important for imagination, for open-ended play, for making fun out of nothing. And that's a big part of childhood.
Because everything, it seems, even at that young age, is surrounded by technology. Have you found that to be something where you can, whether it's the long trip, whether you can embrace boredom or not, have you found that to be one of those things? You know it's there, you know they're going to have to eventually do it, as you explained, but is that a tough one for you? I don't mean morally, but is it a tough one for you saying, you get it, but not quite yet?
It is a tough call, and I think it really depends on the specifics of the situation. I can't tell you how many times our kids have been so excited about some new toy or gadget, and if I'm being honest, how excited I've been about that thing, right? And then it's disappointing. It never works as well as it does in the picture on the box, right? And a lot of our experiences with technology are like this. I think magic is actually a really useful concept in this regard, and imagination, you know, imagination is really the fuel that we're doing to make this magic happen. That's what you need to focus on, is bringing that magic and imagination to childhood and to family experiences. And, you know, sometimes a ball and a stick can be just as great as the fanciest app imaginable. Who's creating this imagination? Are we just consuming the ideas that other people came up with, or are we going to create our own story, right? Create our own world.
That's Ed Finn, director of ASU's Center for Science and the Imagination. We've been talking about his recent piece for Slate. Ed, thanks.
Thanks so much, Steve.